10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Walter M. Sterling, oh my gosh, it's a live radio show on Sunday night that isn't football.
Every damn night.
All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour. Live radio. Oh, my God, what do you say? Yes, live radio. My name is Walter Sterling. You're driving the 18-wheeler. You and I are alone in the cab. You're coming back from a long weekend. What do you mean? It was only 2 days? Yeah, but you were with your family, and that makes it seem long. And this show has a very special functional purpose on WGAN in Maine, WPHT in Philadelphia, where we almost never air because of worthless, boring as crap football games that nobody cares about in Philadelphia. And KDKA, similar problem. KMOX in St. Louis, an honor to be on KMOX in St. Louis. KFBK, Sacramento. Many, many other much smaller stations. I'm sorry, Alan. KMBZ FM in Kansas City, a very big radio station, and more importantly, an exemplary radio station. If more talk stations in America would be like KMBZ, they would have more listeners. It's a simple math. Well, that's exciting. This is good. You know, I'm on the air. Hold on. Hey, I'm on the air. I'm on the air. And you're ringing my phone? Yeah, I'm on the air. You're ringing my phone?
Oh, I'm listening to the station and there's a football game.
Yes, that's what I just complained about on the air. But if you listen on the the Odyssey app.
I love you. Bye-bye. I'll call you at 10:45. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's Father Jim Drucker, who rang my phone because I didn't turn it off, and he'll be on at 10:45. He's in Philadelphia, and he's in shock, as most of us are, that WPHT in Philadelphia is airing a football game, and you're thinking, well, what is it, the Eagles? No. No, it's some conflict game of two teams that no one within 100 miles of Philadelphia gives a crap about unless they bet. Would anybody do that on a football game? Is there, would anybody put money on a game? Pete Rose is dead. I'm just stunned. And it's funny, too. When Father Drucker calls me, he'll be on at 10:45. When Father Drucker calls, he was on the air for 25 years as one of the best top 40 disc jockeys who ever lived. And he knows that if he calls me, the host, and says, what's wrong? Why aren't you on the air? There's nothing I could do. What could I, as a host, possibly do? Control board operators often don't know what to do. I certainly don't know what to do except keep talking. That's all I know how to do. Terrible week. September 11th. That beautiful girl in the train in North Carolina. And Charlie Kirk. And a week ago, no, not a week ago, but in Philadelphia when Charlie Kirk was murdered, I said, this is before they found the guy, I said on the air, I know exactly who killed it. Oh, the FBI can't find him? I know exactly who killed him. And this is what I said on the air. Now, if we were on top of things, I could just play the air check, but we're not on top of things. You're just going to have to trust me that this is what I said. Hey, you, this is what I said. I said, I know exactly who killed him. It is a white man under the age of 30, lives at home, is not connected to anybody formally, engaged, married to, father of, no formal connection, does not have a known job, not in the military, not in the police, not a teacher, not a lawyer, not a doctor, no known job. And he's not connected in our society by a role. He doesn't have the role of father, grandfather, mother, daughter, son. He doesn't have the role of an adult. He can be a son, but that's not the role of an adult. That's an exalted role of a child. And the trouble that men have transitioning from being a child to being an adult is that a child in our culture is a coveted position. That is an elevated, protected position. And depending on the parents, they can work out of it, evolve out of it, like a chrysalis, they can roll out of it, or they can be stuck there and rot. Many segments in our culture have protected, important roles. Women always have a role because they create something that is coveted in our culture. Minorities are protected in our culture. Teenagers have an exalted role. They're the future. They have a role. But there's this pit between 18 and 30 for men who don't have a career. They may have a job, but I don't think this guy had a job. And they may be in the military. They may get married. They may get engaged. They can find a role. They can find a role. But the biggest risk is when there's a man between the ages of 18 to 30 who has no role. Because people who have no role are dangerous. And they are dangerous because they seek excitement in all of its forms. I'm Walter Sterling on this big radio station. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Hygiene tips for dancers. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out why an NYPD patrolman committed suicide after his flight landed at JFK International Airport. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
In this week's brand new episode of the Drive Through Brew, Crazy Jake returns from his first ever cruise vacation. And you're not going to believe the mischief that he pulled off on that ship. Stay tuned and you'll hear all about it on Sterling every night.
Spartanburg shooting. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Extra.
Exotic dancer, yeah, sometimes it's not that easy. There's a lot of fellers around you that may not be the cleanest guys on the planet. How do you keep yourself clean? According to the experts in the strip club hygiene field, yeah, there's consultants for that. They go into your clubs, go on from there. They say, okay, ladies, shower daily. Yeah, move the hair and exfoliate to prevent razor bumps and irritation. And the regular use of hand sanitizer to avoid germ transmission. Dancers also pack portable hygiene essentials like wipes, deodorant, facial spray for quick refreshes. And they clean shared equipment such as poles with alcohol to reduce contamination and maybe an STD. Skin hydration, very, very, very important. And, in fact, keep skin supple with Epsom salt baths. However, avoid using before or after work. It can make the surfaces like poles slippery. And you don't want slippery poles. Do you? Yeah, maybe. Bikini Area Care. Use pH-balanced wipes for the sensitive vaginal areas. But be careful not to overwash or use harsh chemicals. Yeah, you don't want to use Pledge down there. You know, the Pledge wipes, get that? Or perhaps, those Lysol wipes for the kitchen. Don't use that down there, ladies. Not that good. From the champagne room with a clean dancer, I'm Velo Houle. Sterling every damn night.
Now, Hannah Einbeiner, who is Lorraine Newman's daughter and is funny and hot and a lesbian, sort of. She blew it. Hannah, this is a celebration of artistic work. And what did she do? She took her 2 minutes and she yapped about Palestine. That's not the place. That's just not the place. And she says, yes, and I'm Jewish, and this is horrible what Israel has done. I have to remind you, my friend, as to how that happened, how the trouble happened. Let me get some help here. Anyway, so it was a difficult week, and then I was going to hold on. Then I was going to take tonight off. I know it's a crime. I was going to take tonight off, and then nobody would fill in. And I'm going to go over this horror that nobody would fill in. But here's what's this? Let's see.
Do you think that the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
No, Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
And a few weeks later, she was dead. Oh, yes. A few weeks later, she was dead. But I'm looking for something that Jones said, and it's going to take me a few seconds. I know this is a very big and important network radio show, Phil. We're getting there. We're getting there. Darn it. Let's see. You know, if I can't find it, I know what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to play this.
special truce. And Palestinians, you cannot throw rockets and expect people not to defend themselves.
What about the civilian casualty rate?
Then don't put your damn things in private homes. I'm sorry. Don't you dare put weapon stashes in private homes, and then we say get out. Of course, we're going to do it.
The response normally is where are the civilians supposed to go?
I don't care. They started it. You're all insane. They started it. What are you all saying? They started it. The Israelis did not throw their. Been going on.
How do you
what are you supposed to do?
How do you resolve
it? I know because I have been over there. That's how I know. And I wish the world would know. And BBC should be ashamed of themselves. And CNN should be ashamed of themselves. And everybody, stop it already.
Selena Gomez tweeted a pro-Gaza.
Oh, Selena Gomez. Oh, yeah, that college grad. Well, if Selena said that.
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
All right, it's 27 past the hour with Walter Sterling. Live on the radio, Joan Rivers explaining exactly what's going on in Israel right now. And she said all of that, obviously, before she died. But that was long before October 6th. And there it is. Was it the, yeah, well, there it is. They started it, and it's important to keep it in perspective. And this is why I'm so annoyed at that Heinbeiner, that terrific actress, that great comic actress who's the co-star of Hacks, Lorraine Newman's daughter. But there she is going on, remember Palestine, and oh my God, hi. Remember this. Remember this. You're at home. It's 10:20 in the morning on a sweet October morning. Just getting crispy with fall. The leaves are just looking pretty. It's that magic time. The time we all say, oh, I like fall best. Okay, we like fall best. And you have a big picture window. And you're feeding your three-year-old. Cutting up carrots for the three-year-old. With the big knife. Hope the kid won't get near that knife. And out there on the ridge at your backyard, you see a figure, and then another one, and then three. And you're like, why are they all wearing black? They're all wearing black in my backyard. Is that the lawn guys we hired or the gutter guys? Mr. Leaf? Is that the gutter guys? And then they keep coming closer, and they're tall. And they keep coming closer to my house. And whoa, that's not a rake. That's not a mower. That's a giant sword and a long-range rifle coming to my house. Oh, whoa! And the three thugs jump into my kitchen. And they grab my three-year-old. And my three-year-old is beheaded in front of me. That's what the Palestinians did to the Israelis. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn.
Well, you're so lucky, Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood, to get me on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I can't begin to tell you what a disaster I'm listening to in my headphones. Just, you know, I want to retire. Can I do that? No, I have three children. Mateus, did you see? No, there'll be no retiring. No. It's so funny when I see these clownish reports about he wants to push the retirement age 2 years later to 67. Yeah, that would have been nice. But, my God. Now, movies. What movie did you see? Was there nudity?
Well, yes. One of the movies had nudity. And just let me get to that in a minute, because you've been talking tonight about the Emmy Awards, which, of course, are going on down at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. And there, amid the 7,100 seats, that's 7,100 seats in this theater, some interesting things have been happening. I know you were not pleased with Ms. Einbinder's taking this as a political forum.
Well,
but on the
other side, and I want to hear that. But I'm not pleased with having to pronounce her name every time it shows up, because no one can. Why isn't she just Newman? She's Lorraine Newman's daughter. Why can't they just all agree to be called Newman? Because the father, Einbinder, what the hell is that? It's not Irish. It's not even Jewish. What kind of name is that?
I don't know. You got me. It's a strange one. It's a strange one. But, you know, on the other side, of course, she won for Hacks tonight before she decided to make it a political thing. But the other side of this is that Hacks also won yet again for Jean Smart, who we agree we all love, right? Because she's the greatest thing on television.
The best thing ever.
She's terrific. And would you believe that Lorne Michaels won another Emmy? This makes the 24th tonight that he's won out of the 112 nominations, that for the SNL 50 special. And the young kid who is so good in adolescence, Owen Cooper, at 15, is the youngest person ever to win an Emmy Award for acting. So I think that's pretty good so far. Yeah, there's some neat stuff going on.
Yeah, but
back to the nudity.
I don't want to. Hey, Lorne. Boca time. It's Boca time, Lorne. It's time to head to Boca Raton, Lorne. Why don't you make a funny show? Let's see what happens next year. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mateus. Go ahead.
Well, we have nudes. You wanted nudes. There's a documentary out that just came out. It's called Naked Ambition. And this is the story of the world's prettiest photographer. It's the life and career of Bunny Yeager. Does that name ring a bell to you at all? You're, of course, too young probably to remember when she started.
She started
in the early 50s in Miami Beach. And in no time, not only started taking self-portraits of herself in bikinis, but that of other wonderfully shapely models like the famous Betty Page, who was quite a pinup. And anyway, so she was taking these so-called cheesecake pictures of other models, and she started getting jobs taking some of the photos for the early editions of Playboy before they started revealing more, and she helped popularize the bikini. So she was really quite a fascinating gal in a very male-dominated world of taking cheesecake pictures of girl models. Some of these women felt more comfortable revealing themselves, and as it went into the 70s, revealing more of themselves when it was a girl that was taking the pictures. Now, she had two kids. She was married. Bunny Yeager was. But she managed to make a great deal of success until, of course, Larry Flint and those publications came out that Larry had, of course, Penthouse and others, just turned it into straight porn, and it became something else. But she was a forgotten pioneer, and it's really fascinating as you hear some other photographers like Bruce Weber talk about her work and how they were influenced by it. And Larry King, the great voice of the air, is featured in this movie. It was the last interview he did before he passed away. So the name of the movie, this about this singular lens woman's life, Bunny Yeager, it's called Naked Ambition. And it's a pretty perky and fun look at this pioneer in her field. Naked Ambition, it opened this weekend in select theaters across the United States.
The great Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood. How do I find you on Facebook?
It's MABHollywood on .com on your web browser, but on Facebook, it's Mateus Bombals Hollywood. MATIASBOMBAL'S, Hollywood, like the city, on Facebook. Thanks so much, Walter.
Mateus, America's premier coverer. Mateus, premier coverer. Thanks, Mateus. 41 past the hour with James Copeland. James Copeland, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Good evening, Walter. It's great to be on here. And I know we have a lot going on. It's been a very busy week in Kansas.
Fill us in, please, James, on the Kansas State Fair.
Absolutely. So just wrapped up today in Hutchinson, which is sort of the middle of the state. I've been a couple of years since I've been to the fair, and I must say I was very happy to see a great attendance, and I got to see a few new things that I hadn't been able to check out before, because mostly, you know, there's just so much going on, it's very overwhelming. But we did get to see the milking demonstration of the cows there, and I learned a lot about the milk cows. And, of course, the Dairy Council wants to remind everyone to drink as much milk as humanly possible.
Utterly true.
Utterly true. Now, we also did have a corn husking contest. That was rather interesting and won by a Southeast Kansan, I'm very happy to say. So a man from Iola won that. So now, do you think you would do well in a corn husking contest, Walter?
Yes, because I grew up in North Jersey where there's really good corn. And I had a mom who did not husk. She said, here's the corn for tonight. If you want to eat, you're going to husk this. So I got pretty good at it.
Yeah, I bet you would. So you have to sit in a chair and, of course, throw them into baskets. That's kind of like the other complicating factor is you have to have a decent enough arm to get them across the room into the basket. But it was very good to see that. And we also, of course, did have a lot of other just a complete nonsense around. It was definitely quite overwhelming. Pig races were another one that I hadn't taken in a couple of years. So the pig races are definitely good because at the end, the main prize there is going to be an Oreo cookie, so that's what the pigs are going for. But there's a lot of exposition at a pig race, as you might imagine. The race itself is fairly short.
But James Copeland of KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas, Morning Star. James, you mentioned that there were things at this year's Kansas State Fair that you had never seen before. Can you give us an example?
Well, of course, all the different judging contests and that sort of thing, you never know when you're going to get to catch that. You have 7-year-olds traipsing around with goats that are bigger than them, and they don't really know what to do. So they actually had a little bit of training going on with that. They do have a birthing center where you never know if you're actually going to get lucky enough to see something squirt out of an animal. But they did actually have some pigs being born while we were over there. So they had four when we were there, and they thought there might be some more going to be coming out here in a little bit. So anyway, they said that 1 year there was a pig that had 14, and they thought she was done, and then she, by the things all said and done, she ended up having, I believe, 21 or 22. So you never know.
Now, have you ever, you were making fun of the kids that had goats and pigs that were bigger than they were. And did you ever walk around with any of these? Did you ever do a peg race? Have you ever done any of these things that you're commenting on?
No, I have not. And I commend them for putting in all that effort, because it is quite a bit of effort there, too. And, of course, we did have local 4-H'ers, FFA students who did compete and were well represented. And I definitely thought, the other thing, you can't forget all the food. And they have, you can only get it at the state fair, but this particular root beer. If you go to the Kansas State Fair, it's like not even really labeled. The sign just says root beer, and they have barrels. I have no idea what the brand is, but it's like $2. And you can get the best root beer in the world at the Kansas State Fair. And then they go away. They're gone. That's the only place you can find them. They have no website, nothing. They don't care. They don't want you to follow them on social media, nothing. It's just root beer.
Now, James Copeland, what about pies? Were there spectacular pies there?
Oh, there were, yes. The 4-H, the FFA kids did have some good ones. And then, of course, there is the domestic arts building. That's where the adults are supposed to compete. And I will say the adults need to do a better job of entering things, because that has kind of dwindled. But we have a record, looked like, enrollment for the 4-H this year. But the adults need to get on it for the canning and the pies. We really need to, bring those numbers back up. Now, of course, we went on the second to last day, so by that time things are getting looking a little bit green, considering that some of these foods have been out there for like coming up on 2 weeks. So it's a little dicey. But what I was a little concerned about is they were tasting some cheesecake. So I don't know how that works, but whatever.
James Copeland, Morning Star of KGGF in Kansas, in Coffeyville, Kansas. James is a great friend of the show, a great friend of mine. And thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, 46 past the hour, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out why an NYPD patrolman committed suicide after his flight landed at JFK International Airport. Coming up in moments on Sterling, every damn night.
In this week's brand new episode of the Drive-Thru Brew, Crazy Jake returns from his first ever cruise vacation. And you're not going to believe the mischief that he pulled off on that ship. Stay tuned and you'll hear all about it on Sterling every night.
Spartanburg shooting. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Now, join. Let's dance in space. make any promises, okay? I can't even promise that I won't hurt you in the end.
You think I can?
But up until that point, I will rock your world if you let me.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, JB Bakery, Selena and Steve.
Selena and Steve with the interloper. Father Jim Drucker, interloper, and Selena and Steve. We're going to try out Steve's return tonight. The Steve owns a bakery called JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. And it's a great bakery, and I'm fascinated by the fact it's not a chain. It's not owned by a corporation. It's owned by the baker, the way they all were, owned by the baker. Now the baker owns JB Bakery. And then his girlfriend, Selena, who was up to be Miss New Jersey in the Miss America pageant. She participated in those trials and was screwed. And there's Father Jim Drucker, a 40-plus-year Catholic priest, retired, but he spends his time doing God's work in the VA hospitals, and he's a great man. But he spends most of his day sponging off JB Bakery. You go there, you'll find him there drinking coffee, with a huge bag of baked goods that he will personally eat before he leaves. Now, but I've had Steve off for many weeks because he annoyed me. He managed to take something interesting, baked goods, and make it boring. But he makes great recipes. And if you'd like a Steve recipe tonight, what recipe is it, Steve?
I have the pineapple upside down cake. It's gooey and fluffy and sweet.
And is it almost easy to make?
Very easy to make. And it has, it's rich in butter, so it has a lot of flavor. And it's easy to make because you can use simple ingredients and just need some pineapples. So pineapples is what makes the top. The brown sugar makes a nice caramel flavor glaze for it, and it's good for like a birthday surprise or an after dinner dessert.
All right, you can have his pineapple upside down cake recipe just by sending me a note, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Say recipe and I'll send it to you right away. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Now Selena has a makeup hack. Selena is a pageant girl. Now you're probably a pageant girl too, but you don't admit it because you don't want the other kids at school to know it. Now, do you have a makeup tip for us, Selena?
I do. I've heard as a general rule, and I've used this for my planning out my pageant makeup, that you can either do dark eye makeup and a neutral lip color, or a bold lip and neutral eyes. So coming into the fall season, what I really love to wear is a bold lip, particularly a red with an orange undertone, although some people prefer a blue undertone depending on your skin. And then another tip would be going into the colder months, thinking about a thicker moisturizer at night to protect your skin barrier is very important.
Selena, pageant girl, with a fit check and a hack for your beauty regime. And Father Jim Drucker, what a horrible week. Do you have a thought for us, a prayer for us about Charlie Kirk's murder?
I was actually ask every person listening to go into the inner recess of their being and to realize that love, love, love is what is necessary, not only for our nation, but for the world. That means we must forgive, we must look for the good in people. And when we see bad, we pray for good, just prayer. Prayer is communication with God, and it's a special linkage between each of us if it's embraced with love.
Father Jim Drucker, retired Catholic priest, with a prayer for us for Charlie Kirk's murder. Such a big spiritual week, such a big test week, right? All right, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
They fixed what wasn't broke. Poor Cracker Barrel, they got a little too woke. Trump told Cracker Barrel, put the old white guy back on the logo. Now Cracker Barrel's gonna do it, 'cause their stock price got too low.
It's, look at this, almost 8 minutes past the hour, 8 minutes past the hour, a network radio show, a national live radio show. Yeah, we're not the Lutheran Hour. We're not the best of annuities and you, not Bitcoin and you, recorded 10 days ago. This is a live radio show. Oh, my God. It's a live radio show. As God meant it to be. Appropriate to a Sunday, going from the horror of being home for the weekend to the joy of the great shift, the late shift in America. The FedEx loading dock, the United Parcel loading dock, driving the 18-wheeler, presenting goods and services to millions of Americans. I have tremendous respect for truck drivers and people who earn their living on the road, because we own the road. It's you and me. I don't see any cable news in here. It's you and me. It's how it's supposed to be. Just us. Oh, let's see who won things. You ready? Let's see who won things. The Emmys is tonight. And I keep track of it just to make sure they don't do anything ultra stupid. So far, they've dragged their feet. I see they're stuck now. All right. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Tarmel Tillman, Severance. And Catherine Lanosa for The Pitt. That's that medical one. Outstanding actress in a drama series. Seth Rogen for The Studio. He was the winner. That's the one we care about. Jeannie Smart. Jean Smart for Hacks. She won for outstanding actress in a comedy series. And then outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series, Jeff Hiller. Somebody Somewhere, that one you and I didn't see. And there's Hannah Einbinder for Hacks. She was a co-star of Hacks. She won Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, and then she decided to make a speech about Palestine. Yeah. Surefire way to bring down a mood. But I believe that the Emmys are a screwy thing. Oh, yeah, and Lorne Michaels won again. His 49th Emmy. But I believe the Emmys are a screwy deal. Because I believe that a Netflix-type show, even though presented on TV, has no relationship to a show on NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox. An entertainment show on Fox. No relationship. Because the problems are very different. Here's the production problem. The series shows, like Hacks, they create 10 episodes, 10 to 12 episodes, right? And they create them pretty much whenever they want, when the script's ready, when the star is available. They'll produce those 10 or 12 shows in a bubble. They don't have real-time pressure. And most importantly, they don't have commercial breaks. And they don't have to get ratings. They have to get subscribers. There's no comparison between Abbott Elementary and Hacks. Abbott Elementary is a real show on real TV on ABC. They make 22 episodes a year. Hacks only has to make 10, or maybe we feel like 12. They act like a British TV show. In England, the way the TV shows are made, they'll write them and they say, oh, we got 12 this year, we got 15, we got 20. And then they stop producing them when they run out of ideas. Not when the ratings tank. Not when there's competition. No, they stop producing them in England when they run out of ideas. And it's the same thing with a show like Hacks or The Studio or Shrinking or The Bear. Abbott Elementary, in terms of production demands, has no relationship to The Bear or Hacks, but they're in the same category. With Hacks and The Bear, they have a giant catering budget. a giant catering budget. They have 18-wheelers filled with food for 8 cast members, packed with food for 8 cast members. And they produce it when they feel like it. They have no deadline. It's fantasy time. And they have no commercial breaks. Abbott Elementary has to make a show compelling enough and funny enough to get you to stay through the commercial breaks and to get ratings. Every morning after an episode of Abbott Elementary airs, all of the executives get Nielsen ratings. They see exactly how they did the night before. Not the bear. Doesn't matter. Their job is to get subscribers. The first head of HBO was asked, well, are you worried about how many people watch The Sopranos? He was asked this in some official industry lunch. And his answer was, I don't care how many people watch The Sopranos. He says, I care how many people subscribe because of The Sopranos. I'll tell you a secret. You know, all this crap about that Howard Stern's getting, that on Sirius Satellite Radio he has far fewer listeners than he did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You've seen those articles where it says, yes, Howard Stern only has 14 listeners, whereas 10 years ago he had 10 million. Here's the secret. They have no idea. Sirius Satellite Radio does not subscribe to the ratings. And they're right. They don't subscribe to Nielsen. They care about subscribers. And their subscriber numbers are making them very happy. And at least a third of those subscribers can be linked to Howard Stern. They don't care how many people listen to Howard Stern. It has nothing to do with their business. And yeah, they sell advertising time, but they don't present them with listener numbers because they don't have any listener numbers. Some of the programming on SiriusXM is streamed on the internet. You can get with their app, you can hear them online. You can hear them on their app. On that, they have listener numbers for. But they have no over-the-air listener numbers. Now, this station that you're listening to Walter M. Sterling on right now, Sterling every damn night, you're listening to a radio, an actual radio station with commercials, God bless them, and audiences that demand, a Midnight Misfit that demands that I be entertaining for the entire 3 hours. Oh, and yes, good reminder, KDKA, this is a three-hour show. And if you're only hearing 1 or 2 hours, you must bombard the management of the station and demand answers. You don't even have to. I don't care if you demand that they air all 3 hours. I say you should demand just answers. Just write them a note saying, hi, I'm a listener to Walter M. Sterling, and I demand answers. That's all. That's what you do. Find out. Do it for me. Find out who the alleged program director is of the station and the alleged general manager and send them an email. I listen to Walter Sterling every Sunday. I demand answers. Just do that. Just do that. And then report back. Forward them to me. We just had JB Bakery on, and the baker gave us a pineapple upside-down cake recipe. His recipes are fun and easy, and they have pictures of him and Selena Ballerina. They're easy to do, and I'll send it to you right now. Send it to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Ask for the recipe. I've guessed. Ask for the recipe, and I'll send it to you right away. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. It's a Sunday night. It's a beautiful night throughout North America. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. The compound is alive. Neon lights flicker. The patrons talking jive.
I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about an incident with an NYPD member in the news. An NYPD cop committed suicide Tuesday after he learned he was facing a Homeland Security probe, law enforcement said. Salvatore Buscemi suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his West Islip home hours after federal authorities had informed him he was under investigation, sources said. The 9-year veteran of the department was met by Homeland Security personnel at JFK Airport when he got off of the plane from Italy on Monday night. He was placed on modified assignment by the NYPD and forced to hand over 4 guns he had registered with the department, sources said. Now, the focus of this federal probe was not made clear. A trove of additional weapons was recovered from his home following his death. So there's a lot to unpack with this story. You have a 9-year veteran of the New York City Police Department. He's coming back from an international flight from Italy. Once he lands at JFK, he's confronted by Homeland Security. Now, what it looks like is they didn't arrest him, but they told him he was under investigation. And obviously, Homeland Security had internal affairs with them, and they placed him on modified assignment. Now, modified assignment for NYPD members means you're under investigation. They take your gun and shield. You're not allowed to purchase firearms. You're usually removed from your command and put in one of the NYPD's Siberian locations, the Whitestone Pound or the court system where you punch in paper. Now, what's interesting is after he was placed on modified assignment, they took his weapons, the ones they knew about. Every NYPD member, any weapon they own or purchase, the department is supposed to know about. And once a year, you have to meet with your integrity control officer and present your firearms, and they check it against a database to make sure that one gun hasn't been lost or stolen. So I find it highly unusual that he had all these additional firearms that were recovered after his death. Another facet of this case is, why wasn't he placed under arrest at the airport? It just seems like they had internal affairs take his guns from him to put pressure on him. Usually with the feds, you're already indictment. They already know what they have. They're going to tell you you're under arrest. It just kind of seems like they kind of poked him for whatever reason. I don't really quite understand why. Sadly, suicide's always been an issue for the New York City Police Department because of the pressures and stresses that cops are under every day. This particular patrolman had some kind of investigation pending over his head. Real or imagined, it was something he couldn't deal with and decided to commit suicide. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
I know you're in the truck. You can't watch TV. Let's see if any of these shows are familiar to any of us. Outstanding drama series. I haven't picked that one. They always do that last. And outstanding lead in a da-da-da. All right, Britt Lower of Severance won outstanding lead actor in a drama series. And Trammell Tillman, winner for Severance outstanding supporting actor in a drama series. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Catherine Lanusa from The Pitt, a winner. Outstanding actor in a comedy series, Seth Rogen, he won. Outstanding actress in a comedy series, Jeannie Smart. Yay. What a great show it is. Hacks. And then outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series, Jeff Hiller, Somebody Somewhere. Have no idea what that is. Do you? No, of course not. Don't feel bad. And Hannah Einbinder, Hacks, won for Hacks. Hannah Einbinder, Lorraine Newman's daughter. Why doesn't she use the name Newman? Why can't she be Hannah Newman? Hannah Newman. Instead, she's Hannah Einbinder, and she's great. We love Hacks. And then she gets up there, and she uses her 10 seconds of fame to scream about Palestine. Why would you do that when you have one shot to make the world a little happier? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
This, my friend, is not a hit.
Nope. My phone number is 855-839-1210. How do you feel? 855-839-1210. A friend of mine suggested, why don't you ask the Midnight Misfits how they would punish the person who killed Charlie Kirk? How would you punish them? Well, you know, capital punishment. No, no. He was a little more graphic. My friend suggested that the murderer of Charlie Kirk, we should take his hand, his trigger finger, and cut it off and let him bleed to death. Let him bleed to death. I said, all right, that's a start. But I told you, 10 days ago when they said, well, we're looking, we're doing a manhunt. We're going to find the murderer of Charlie Kirk. We're going to find him. I said, I'll tell you exactly who it is. And I don't want to be right, but I was right. It will be a white man under the age of 30, 18 to 30. It'll be a man who lives at home, not married, not engaged. Not connected, not employed, maybe part-time job, some retail job, not employed. And not in the army, not employed, not in school. What does all that mean? Not connected. In no way connected to a role in our culture. That's who does these shootings. I don't recall any black mass murderers, do you? African Americans have a role in our culture. It is a protected role. It's an exalted role. Married people, fathers, mothers, women have an exalted role because they produce something of value to our society. Just to be cold and hard-lined about it, they produce something of value to our society. Anybody under the age of teen is in a protected category. They are coveted and exalted and showered with gifts and education, cared for, food, clothing, shelter. But an 18 to 30-year-old man, an 18 to 30-year-old white man, can easily have no role. Not in the military, doesn't have a job, not in training, not in college. Those are the people who get in trouble. Those are the ones who get in trouble. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. When you call that, that is a live line, like going live on TikTok. You get to speak to more people than you would on TikTok, but it's an equal thrill. It's equally exciting. Equally exciting. It was a tough week for me because not only because of Charlie Kirk, which was tough, and because of the horror of that beautiful woman from Ukraine who was murdered on a train in North Carolina for committing the crime of going to work and coming home from work because she decided to assimilate into our culture. She decided to become an American when she escaped war-torn Ukraine and came here to be a productive member of our culture. So she had to be murdered for that. And then September 11th, the reminder of September 11th, I was at the World Trade Center that day. I saw it. I'm amused by the conspiracy theories that a missile went in there, that they were radio-controlled planes. I don't know how a poorly trained, miserably trained pilot could fly those into those buildings, but they did. Those were airplanes. I saw them. They weren't missiles. They were not being radio controlled. They were missiles. And get the bastards, Mr. President. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
The phone number is 855-839-1210. That is your live line. You go on the air. It's like TikTok Live, only better, because it's radio live, where people of all walks, not just 23-year-olds, all walks of life can participate. 855-839-1210. And I mentioned that we have a beautiful recipe for a pineapple upside-down cake that's easy to make from J.B. Bakery. And I got a note from the first in early, the early responses from MC, listening on KFBK in Sacramento. Margo listens on KFBK in Sacramento, a really spiffy radio station programmed by Bill White. In every industry, maybe even yours, in every industry, there are craftspeople, people who do beyond their job. Every business needs people who come in on time, leave on time, and do their job. Those are the ones that make things work. But there's another group of people who are craftspeople, who go above and beyond without being asked and turn in not good work, but great work, and that is Bill White, the program director, station manager, or something, of KFBK in Sacramento, number one radio station in Sacramento. Now, how does a radio station get to be number one, he asked. By having Bill White. If you're lucky enough to have employed Bill White, you don't have anything to worry about. This is an employee to be coveted. Now, let's say, for example, KFBK was owned by iHeart. iHeart has the capabilities, the vision to embrace Bill White, give him a bigger title and more money, and to say, Bill, do you want a better chair? Do you want a better desk chair? Would you like more comfortable, natural lighting instead of the harsh LED lighting that President Obama made us take? You'll recall that there was a time before LED lighting. LED lighting is a curse. It's dangerous. You have LED headlights on the highway in the rain, forcing it to turn into glare rather than light, rather than its glare. You have LED light. They're too bright, and it's glare. There was someplace I was going with this, but there's just so much I can do in one night. I've been in task mode for hours here, and that's the very worst place for me to be. It's a bad place for me to be in my mood. It certainly wipes out all creativity. I believe that our brains pretty much work in two speeds, either creative, hearts and flowers, or tasks. And tasks is, where does that pile of paper go? When do they pick up the trash? Oh, I need a new light bulb in my taillight. Those are all tasks. They are things that we have obligations to deal with, but no desire to deal with. And I believe that happiness is determined by what percent of your day is task versus creative. The more time a person can spend in creative, whatever it is, if it's building a birdhouse, if it's repairing the car, painting the outside of the house, painting on canvas, whatever is the creative task, doing the laundry really well, folding it perfectly, making sure it has fascinating scents and aromas. Whatever it is that is creative, we have a good day. If you say to a creative person, do you have a good day? Yeah, I had a really good day. And if you say to somebody who's stuck with tasks all day, it's that time of year to fill out taxes, fill out forms for the kid in school, get air in the tire, not to fix the engine, but to get air in the tire, to get an oil change, and you don't know how to change the oil. I know you told him you do, but you don't. You take it to Take Five or Valvoline. And those are all tasks. And at the end of a task-filled day, we are not happy. We are not satisfied because we have this fear of missing out on creative things over on that side of our brain. Now I want you to imagine being Walter Sterling. And you're left-handed. Which side of the brain am I supposed to be on? Which side of the brain is my brain supposed to work at to generate creative tasks? I don't know. I was really spoiled rotten. I'll tell you why. I got to tell you about this. When I was first starting to work as an executive in a Brooks Brothers suit, maybe you can relate to this, in a Brooks Brothers suit, rep tie, white button-down shirt, I was 26. I was an executive vice president at 26. Don't ask how. I don't know. At NBC, I was an executive vice president. I took that job so that all 50-year-olds would hate me. And they did. And I didn't help that. But anyway, I knew that the most important thing I could do while there was to hire the right secretary. There was a time when companies did not expect executives to fill out FedEx forms. They did not expect executives to fill out HR forms or to review expense accounts. that was not for executives to do. They were paying executives $400,000 a year, $500,000 a year to what? Have original ideas and implement them. Too many companies have gotten way far away from that. Too many companies review secretaries as an unnecessary luxury. That is the stupidest thing a company can assume. To eliminate executive assistants and secretaries is the single falsest economy possible. Because every time a great secretary catches a phone call, catches an appointment, sets up a meeting, that means the executive doesn't do those things. The executive is sitting in there, walking around, working with the staff to come up with original ideas and ways to make money. That's their job. They're getting paid the big bucks to come up with original ideas. A secretary catches. They catch the complaint, the angry letter, the bad email, the phone calls. There's no bigger waste of time than being in an office building and an executive hears a knock at the door on their floor, and the executive, the person in the suit, the person in the nice dress has to go out and open that door. And here is the catch about doing tasks all day, filling out the FedEx form, answering the door, repairing the coffee, filling up the coffee. Hey, we're out of milk here. We don't have any milk. Hey, no problem. I'll go out and get some, said the $400,000 executive. Oh, FedEx? Yeah, I can fill out that form. No problem. The curse of it is that those $300,000 and $400,000 and $500,000 executives without secretaries, at the end of a day of tasks, FedEx forms, answering the phone, doing the voicemail, filling out the HR report, at the end of a day, they think they've accomplished something, but they've accomplished nothing. They've accomplished nothing. If, as an executive, you haven't come up with a way for the company to generate more revenue, you haven't done anything. If you, or even worse, if you're doing tasks all day, and then you say, hey, you know, I found a way to cut costs. Well, that's not a good idea. Again, that should be the business manager, the accountant. That's what they should be doing, is they should be cutting costs. An executive, a salesperson, they should be bringing in revenue. Oddly, this is a revolutionary idea. I'm Walter Sterling. This is a revolutionary idea. Have I screamed once at the Democrats? Why no? How did this get on the air? Because, like you, it doesn't fit in. Sterling every damn Sunday. Sometimes you want to go where nobody knows the manager's name. And the service is really lame. You want to go where nobody actually cares about you. You want to go to Drive Through Blue.
This is Rob Williams. Tonight, an all-new episode of Drive Through Brew. Unless you're hearing it later as a rerun. Young Jake has just returned to the drive-thru from his first cruise vacation. Let's listen in as he and the manager discuss his adventures.
Well, morning, Gilligan. How was the 3-hour tour?
It was pretty good. In fact, I actually made a nice bundle of cash.
At the casino?
No, I lost money there. There was an art auction.
The art auction? How did you make money there?
It's kind of a long story, but if you're nice, I'll shorten it to a couple hours.
Go ahead.
So I went there because I heard they were giving out free champagne. Plus, someone told me that a lot of the art was kind of weird.
So what happened?
So first the auctioneer brought out a junky-looking landscape. Said he was painted by Bob Ross's former termite inspector and was sure to go up in value.
Suddenly, I'm not sure I want to hear this, but go on. What was the picture of?
The guy said it was a scenery meadow in twilight, surrounded by wind-blown trees. But I thought it looked more like a deserted junkyard with fire's old tiles, you see. So I didn't bid.
Wise move.
Then he showed a velvet picture of a rhino, a lion, and a zebra playing Wheel of Fortune. And I kind of liked it, but I passed.
So how did you make your money?
Actually, on one of the ugliest paintings. It was an abstract. And nothing but brown and red squiggly lines on an orange and green background. It kind of looked like a blind chimp could have painted it.
I've seen stuff like that.
So, being a little drunk, I bought it for $50, thinking I'd use it as a dartboard or maybe give it to my brother as a joke at Christmas.
$50, though.
Well, listen, when I was heading back to my cabin with it, a guy who was drunk and real seasick accidentally...
Stop there. I know what you're gonna say.
And he felt so bad, he paid me $100 on the spot.
So you doubled your money.
More than that. The next day, I cleaned it up a little and sold it back to the auction guy for $300. He asked what I'd done to make it so much more appealing, but I didn't tell him.
I know, but look, it could happen. Some dude duct taped a banana to a wall and sold it for $6 million. But never mind that. Listen next time when Jake says...
I'm getting to like art, Mr. Manager. Do we still got one of those smashed-up moon pies that I run over with the forklift?
That's next time on Drive Through Brew. Rob Williams still speaking.
Live radio on a Sunday night. Oh, my gosh. I'm Walter Sterling. I've got an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com and a phone number where you can go live and talk to America. Oh, my gosh. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. And you've probably stopped chasing women.
Guys, so you and I both know, first of all, that a lot of you have stopped pursuing women because they're not worthy of pursuit, right? Okay, because their ego is inflated, because there's outright misandry going on, because they treat you like garbage, because they're trying to get you to spend a bucket load of cash on date ones. They can then go make a TikTok video about how they didn't really like you but had a big dinner with a big old Buddha belly. You know what's going on. That's the primary reason you've stopped pursuing women, because there's too much garbage out there.
There's too much garbage out there. But the scariest thing about chasing women, by far, is you and I don't know until it's almost too late if it's a crazy girl. Now, here it is. It's almost midnight on the East Coast. This is when crazy girls come out and start going to bars and clubs. They come out now. After you've had three drinks and you're ready to go home, the crazy girl walks in. And what does a crazy girl look like? She looks fantastic after you've had three drinks. She really does look good. And she's usually wearing a black dress, which should be a sign. And she's sitting there looking all innocent and nice. And you, because you're innocent and stupid, drink? Sure. What are you having? All of that. That's the first false flag. If she wants what you're having. That's the first false flag, because no woman really wants what you're having, buddy. They don't want the bourbon on the rocks. They want one of those blue drinks that smokes and has fruit coming out of it and has a cute name like the Doctor Who formula, cute name. That's what they want. If they immediately say, yeah, I'll have what you're having, and if you're having scotch or gin or Tanqueray, no, that's trouble. She's very quickly trying to saddle up to you, And then you start talking, and here's when you're dead. She starts laughing at everything you say, to the point where you're thinking, you know, I can't wait to tell my friends that this woman thinks I'm really funny. If your brain starts to formulate, she thinks I'm really funny. Now you've had three drinks. but she thinks you're really funny. If she, if you think she thinks you're really funny, she has conned you right there. That is the first con. You go to your guy friends and go, well, I met this woman the other night, and gosh, you know, she was like a regular guy. She had the gin on the rocks, and she thought I was really funny. No, she didn't. She didn't. You were conned. And then it goes downhill from there, especially if you make the serious mistake of inviting her to your apartment on the first date. And I'll tell you why in just seconds. It's a live radio show, Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
That's the scary part about dating, isn't it? That you pick up a crazy girl, and you're thinking, well, they're crazy guys too, but here's the difference. A crazy girl will do things that a guy can't anticipate. It would never occur to a man, even if he's a little crazy, to call a woman at 2:15 in the morning just to see how she's doing. He's never going to call and say, hey, you know, I was just wondering. I know it's 2:15, but I was thinking about you, and I just want to know how you're doing. Only women do that. No guy does that. Worst case scenario with a man will do something that's deceptive or worse, violent. Deceptive, I think it's more likely for a man to lie about whether or not he's in a marriage. I don't think many women lie about whether or not they're married. They'll lie about other stuff, but they're not inclined to lie about whether or not they're married. But men will, especially men on the road. A man on the road is, he's out of control. He's free. He's free. Man on a business trip on the road, if he says, if he meets you at the guest quarters hotel, in the bar at the guest quarters, and he's having a gin and tonic, and you start talking to him, and, oh, gee, you know, I really enjoy being on the world. It's not a problem. I like. And you say, well, gee, don't you miss your family? And he says, oh, I'm single. I'm single. And you're looking at him, and he's like 38. And he kind of has that married look. You know the look. He's a little heavy. Single guys, especially if they're 38, they're not heavy. They're doing everything they can to stay trim to appeal to a 22-year-old woman. That's what they do. If a guy is a little heavy and looks that has that beleaguered married guy look, he's married. And he says, oh, no, I'm single. I'm, you know, wild. I'm completely wild. Do you want to go to a club later? I know where there's a really good club. Meanwhile, he had asked the front desk worker, the least cool person on earth, where there was a good club. And, you know, you wind up going to a club that closed at 11. The good clubs pretty much don't close. And if you look cool enough, they'll let you in at 4 in the morning. Those clubs. But the front desk guy does not know where those are. Yeah, I know there's a really cool... Yeah, I've checked around. I know where there's a cool club. We should try it. You want to try it tonight? Oh, okay. I'll pick you up at 10. Picks you up at 10. You go to the, quote, cool club. It's pretty much clearing out. It'll be closed at 11. That was not the cool club. The cool club is always in a borderline bad spot of town, a bad place in town. It's not in the really bad place, because then they won't get anybody. And it's not in a great place, because the great place won't tolerate the noise or the crowd. It's right on that border between bad place and really good place. Right on the border. The other thing I've noticed about the cool clubs that the cool kids go to is there's no signage. There's never signage. And if you try to look for them during the day to get ready, to be ready so that when you get down there, you'll know where it is and you'll be able to impress your date, you won't find it. You will not find the cool club during the day because they have blackout doors with no door handles. And it looks like an exit for garbage and may well be exit for garbage. But it's never going to have a sign, and it's never going to have door handles, and it only opens from inside because the owners and the operators, they go in a very different door. Those are the cool clubs. In the 80s in New York City, that was the peak of nightclubs. The peak. Stadium, 4G, Palladium, Cafeteria, CBGBs, those were the cool clubs. There were many others. The Limelight, Converted Church. And I can tell you, Heartbreak. The Mud Club. Oh, my God, the Mud Club. I can tell you that if you went looking for those clubs during the day, you would not find them, except for the Limelight, which was a church. It had been a converted church. You weren't going to find them. They had blackout doors, no signage. In fact, some of them had awnings over their door, but the awnings came down. They took the awnings off the building during the day to not attract the absolutely not cool people. The other thing that was true of all the cool clubs in the 80s in America is if you showed up with a supermodel or something that could have been a supermodel in a limo and you looked like you didn't care, you'd get in. If you showed up on foot or maybe your own Chevy Cruze and the doorman spotted you, you weren't going to get in. You could slip him $100, you weren't going to get in. Those were the cool clubs. What was interesting, though, is once you were inside the cool clubs, I'm taking you there so that you can tell your grandchildren this and lie to them and say you were at the cool clubs. Once you got inside, you were stunned how nothing it was. There was nothing. Most of them didn't have an interesting bar, interesting scene, interesting... No, they were just big rooms with not enough chairs, vaguely interesting lighting. That was it. And it was other cool people that was the attraction. That's what made them, quote, work. Oh, and one more thing. Cocaine. These were dens of cocaine. These were buildings built on cocaine. I never did cocaine. Look, I'm the only idiot you know who's never done any illegal narcotics. None at all. This is how it is normal. Can you imagine? But that's what all those 80s clubs were about. They were about the distribution and sale of cocaine. I promise you, every one of them. And therefore, the energy was weird and edgy and angry and scary and no place for a nice suburban kid like you. My name is Walter Sterling. I am here with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern, and we share about our day. Speaking of which, you haven't shared about your day yet, and I'd like to hear from you at 855-839-1210. I'd like to know what you would do with Charlie Kirk's murderer. If that's who they got, great. If not, alleged murderer. I'd like to know what you would do with Charlie Kirk's murderer. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. My name's Walter Sterling. Every damn Sunday.
James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, you can save your applause. You may change your mind on that one in a minute. For our first Florida Story, we go down to Jacksonville, where a Florida man is in trouble facing some felony aggravated battery charges here. He was so upset that his baked potato was undercooked that he grabbed a fork and repeatedly stabbed a woman in the head, the woman who made the baked potato. Now, when cops show up, she's bleeding from the head. These aren't real serious injuries. She's going to be fine.
But he says he didn't stab her in the head. He threw the fork at her, and it glanced off her forehead. I guess repeatedly? I don't know. There's no great explanation for this.
Hold my beer.
Wait.
Hold my beer.
What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is
for our next Florida story. We're going down to the Tampa area, where a Florida woman battered her boyfriend. Yeah, she's upset, too. This time it's not over an undercooked baked potato, though. She's upset that he rejected her for sex. Her name's Rebecca, 31 years old, came home Thanksgiving night, wanted a little action. A little intoxicated, sure, but when her boyfriend did not want to participate, what does she do? She starts beating him upside the head. Cops show up. There's a big gash over his left eye. She gets arrested. Here's a couple Florida twists on this one, though. The mugshot's online. She doesn't look that bad. I've done worse than this. She's a 31-year-old thin blonde lady. Another Florida twist. This isn't the first time she's gotten in trouble for this. She was arrested in September of 2017 for getting mad at a man because he didn't want to have relations with her. Can somebody please sleep with this beautiful woman in Florida, okay? What kind of bizarro world is this? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Dania Beach. According to a Broward Sheriff's Office complaint, a 37-year-old woman named Shanetta was in the checkout line at Dollar General when her and the customer standing next to her got into a verbal dispute in reference to the defendant farting loudly. But things escalated pretty quickly. Shanetta pulls out a small lockback knife from her purse, opened the knife, told the victim she was going to gut him. The other guy took off because it looked like she was trying to stab him. She's been arrested. And don't get excited. That's not even my worst fart story from Florida today. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
You ever see that movie, Paul Blart Mall Cop? Well, there's a guy who looks like Paul Blart, the mall cop. And just like the movie, he's actually a security guard at a mall. His Instagram name, Paul Flart. See what he did there? And I can't pretend to understand, because for you and I, our flatulence being heard is one of the most embarrassing things you hope never happens. And worst case scenario is someone records you and puts it online. Well, the Florida man records himself flatulating. Here, this is it in the background. This is from his Instagram channel here, where he posts these little videos of him just repeatedly floating air biscuits. And he's at work. He's at his desk at work. You can see the mall hallway behind him. And you'll learn something about yourself. If you go watch these videos, you're going to find out that it's really hard to look another human being in the eye when he's in the act of passing gas. But he's looking right at you. It's so creepy. After 75 of these videos, I repeat, 75 videos where this guy turns it on and it's just like little 10 seconds where he's staring right at the camera and he breaks wind. It finally gets around, and of course, when his boss sees it, he's going to get fired. Well, Paul Flart doesn't stop there. He live streams the conversation where he gets fired.
So we're going live, about to get fired from my job, probably. Let's find out.
Does he not realize that for the rest of his life, when he goes to apply for a job, or he gets a new girlfriend, or anybody looks him up for any reason, this is going to come up? 75 videos. My worst nightmare is one. He has 75. And I saved the absolute worst for last. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Look, at least this story doesn't involve anyone floating an air biscuit. But I genuinely think I would rather be Paul Flart than this guy, Jamie. On Thanksgiving, gets into an argument with his wife and her boyfriend. That's right, the wife is cheating on him, so this escalates pretty quickly. Wife pulls out a sword and basically guts him. She field dresses him like Sarah Palin would do a moose.
In pictures we can't show you on TV, the victim had massive slashes and was trying to hold the contents of his abdomen together. He was still alert when police arrived. Rockledge police are calling it a domestic incident.
Thanksgiving massacre in my driveway. It's crazy.
This is one of the most horrific stories I've ever heard. He is stumbling out in the street trying to hold the contents of his abdomen in. He collapses in his neighbor's driveway. Neighbor calls the cops. Somehow this guy's going to survive. She's the one who cheated on him. Hey, Jamie, other than that, how was your Thanksgiving? Oh, you know, it's all right. Turkey was kind of dry.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Settle immediately.
Settle for less.
The bar needs to be low and drop it even lower, okay? Enough with all the pickiness.
And what are we wearing today? We got Louis Vuitton. We got
Vianney.
Vianney, okay.
More matchmaking brand. whatever.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I'm wearing whatever.
And
it doesn't
who are the
really
shades
matter.
By?
The shades are no Celine, I think. New season, I'm not keeping track.
You're the bougie bitch.
I'm not. No, what? This is nothing. This is a weekend off.
All right.
But I'm here to remind everybody, every single person, you're single for a reason. It's time to settle.
Yes.
Stop wasting time.
Good night and goodbye, guys.
855-839-1210. That is your live. That is your radio live. You go live. Talk to America. The person who allegedly killed Charlie Kirk, what would you do with him? What would you do with him? I'd cut off his finger, the trigger finger, and let him bleed to death. That's what I would do. 855-839-1210. I would like to chat with you about literature. You and I don't read books. I read Theo Landon's smutty books because they're hysterical. But I read a funny book this weekend. And I'm like, oh, I should tell you about this because it's actually one you could read. You wouldn't be stumped. There are no big words, no theory. Perfect for an airplane. You do business, you travel on an airplane, perfect airplane book. You will thank me when you read this. You ready? Nobody Speaks Hawaiian in New Jersey. It's called Nobody Speaks Hawaiian in New Jersey. Nobody Speaks Hawaiian in New Jersey by Jerry D. How do you say it? DiCarano. Jerry DiCarano. D-I-C-A-I. Jerry DiCarano. I put it up on Facebook. It makes it easy for you to find. Walter Sterling is my Facebook page. Walter Sterling. And there you will find a post about how to get it on Amazon. Nobody Speaks Hawaiian in New Jersey. A funny novel. It's a funny novel. It's such a stupid idea. And I think even you would enjoy it, even though it involves reading. Nobody Speaks Hawaiian in New Jersey. There are so many things that torture us. And it's amazing, as we become adults, there are more and more things that we put up with rather than embrace. Things that you and I would have rejected at 20, refused to deal with as a teenager, all of a sudden we're being adults, we're adulting, and we're putting up with them. And I would put way up on that list, besides banks, is the crap that you might be getting from a homeowners association. A homeowners association. A California property owner is celebrating now that a new law has saved her from an eye-watering $1,000 per day fine levied by her homeowners association. This woman purchased a two-bedroom, $600,000 property in September, and she was facing monster penalties over a remodeled door inside her townhouse. Inside. She was targeted by the Shadow Ridge HOA, where she lives, 35 miles west of downtown L.A. She's an entrepreneur, a journalist, decried overzealous HOAs as a cancer, and described the general manager and the president of the complex. The door was installed by a previous owner who hid existing water pipes behind drywall and failed to reroute them. $1,000 a day fine from the HOA. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
More nonsense. Sterling every damn night.
Oh, there you are, Walter M. Sterling at 855-839-1210, St. Louis. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Walter. Yeah, my name's Rick, and I've talked with a bunch of my buddies. We were all in our 60s and 70s. We go to breakfast together, and what we would do is we would take that guy to a beach, having tied with his hands or his arms down to his side, and having buried in the sand, maybe above his waist but below his chest, and blinding. All day long, he can hear that surf coming, but the first time that wave hits him, that sends a chill through him, and we would blind him so he couldn't see, and we would keep him alive for maybe years, day long.
But
if the surf gets too high, we would keep an arrows in him, and we would feed him intravenously, and we would know that when he he hears those waves crashing all day long, and then the first time that wave hits him, it sends a chill to him, and maybe the wave the first day where the tide is, it only goes up to his neck. Maybe the next day it barely goes up to his chest. But we would keep him alive for as long as we wanted, and then at the end, we would just put cuts on him and let the crabs get him.
Well, thank you very much for the call. That's high creativity. A lot of creativity about Charlie Kirk's alleged... Thank you, Charlie Kirk's alleged killer. I appreciate it. We don't advocate any violence, but I asked, what fantasy punishment would you have for Charlie Kirk's murderer? What fantasy? And that was our friend from St. Louis. That was his fantasy at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I told you 10 days ago exactly who that murderer alleged would be. They said, well, you know, we haven't found him yet. We're looking for him. I'm like, I know who they're going to find. They're going to find a white guy who lives with mom, doesn't have a job, doesn't have a fiance, is not married, doesn't have children, is not in college or the military. They have no role. And anybody in our culture who doesn't have a role is dangerous. Every single mass murderer I'm aware of, and I'm sure there's some that I'm not aware of, because remember, this week also there was a school shooting. So this week there was a school shooting. There was Charlie Kirk's murder. 9/11. And the poor Ukrainian girl in the train in North Carolina, whose death was noted by the mayor of the town, saying, we cannot go arresting this problem. We can't arrest everyone to solve this problem. We can't arrest, whatever her answer was stupid. I don't understand. This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with stupidity. How could anybody who's the victim of a crime face a world where much of the chatter is, oh, the poor perpetrator. What do you mean the poor perpetrator? That was premeditated for that. That was not a crazy person. That was not a person who didn't know what they were doing. The person who killed the woman on the train, the Ukrainian woman on the train, selected a victim using sane brain. And the sane brain said, this person's smaller than I am. I can attack them. This person is a woman, weaker than I am. And nobody's really looking at us, might not get a witness. And I can get out at the next stop. Well, that takes planning. Even if he only had a nanosecond to figure all that out, he did. His insanity did not need to be examined. Those were not insane acts. Those were, you want to know what an insane act would be? An insane act would be a guy like that attacking a 6'5" man with a German Shepherd. A 6'5" man walking their German Shepherd. You attack that person in the neck. Okay, that's insane. But this was not insane. This was the victim, a perfect victim. She was tired, woman, slight, no real witnesses. They weren't looking. And I would prefer to think, as a midnight misfit, you and I have spent a lot of time alone, and we've spent a lot of time going to work in darkness. We've spent a lot of time going to the third shift, to loading docks, trucks, rest stops, where there are long distances where there aren't other people, where we have to sense, is this safe, is this not safe? That's the work we've done all our lives. We have tremendous instincts as to whether or not to go in that car, to get in that taxi, to get in that Uber. Is that the right car in the train? We have those instincts. We have those instincts. That's who we are. We sense danger. We have an idea of how to avoid it. But it's not a perfect sense. And you and I cannot imagine not being able to flow and get around in the darkness without fear. It's always a little fear. A little fear is okay. But here is this poor girl who came here from Ukraine. And I don't know the type of talk about insanity. There's the mayor rather than saying, we will get that person. That's not tolerable in my city. I can't have people who just moved to America welcoming all those immigrants. Let's welcome the immigrants. You can't be welcoming immigrants and then, gee, oh, it was a person who needs mental health assistance who killed them. What the hell is that? But I don't know how it got to the point where any public official in charge of a city, in charge of a town, would take the position that the person who perpetuated the crime needs empathy and sympathy. How did that happen? In fact, when you were a kid, think about this. When you were a kid and your mother got a call from the school and they said, your daughter has poked the eye of this other girl. Your daughter started a fight. Your daughter started a fight. Your daughter trashed a classroom. Your daughter was discovered with marijuana. Did you ever imagine your mother would show up at school and look at you and go, what motivated you to do this? What motivated you to commit this trashing of the classroom? What motivated you to bully your classmate? Did we not give you enough therapy? Didn't we give you enough toys at the holidays? Your mother did not say that. If she was called to school because of a disciplinary issue with you, the assumption was the school was right and you, kid, was wrong. There was no middle. There was no possibility your mother would come in and chastise the principal for making the call. There was no possibility that you'd get any wiggle room in this. The school called my mother, I'm dead. That's how it goes. And part of that is how we learned responsibility. Because if our mothers had fudged when they got an official call about our behavior, mother went, well, I know it's not so bad. They shouldn't have bothered me. They shouldn't have called me from work to deal with you. I'm sure you didn't mean to upset me. No, that's not how it went. That's not how it went. But what the way it went taught you and me how to behave and who's responsible for a bad action. And if I've committed a wrong act and mom shows up, I'm in trouble. That's how I learn it's a bad act. Not with the mayor going, oh, we must sympathize with these school students who are graffitiing our hallways, trashing the lockers on the locks, harassing our teachers. Yes, we must feel bad for them.
This, my friend, is not a hit.
Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Spartanburg, South Carolina is home to a couple of Walmarts. It's a wonderful sleepy town not far out of Greenville. It's awesome. The home of the Beacon. The Beacon restaurant is truly Americana at its finest. If you're going to go out and enjoy a wonderful restaurant in a small town, the Beacon is your place. But here's what happened at the Walmart in Spartanburg. Brandon, Devon, Parker, apparently upset at his gal or former gal. She went running like all people should to your neighborhood Walmart. Well, he did some shooting in the parking lot. He's been charged with attempted murder, possession of a weapon during a violent crime, domestic violence, high and aggravated. He was angry while doing domestic violence. That's not good. Breach of the peace, high and aggravated. Yeah, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, they love themselves some peace. And discharging a weapon into an occupied vehicle. Yeah, the Walmart parking lot is not a place for you to go into a shootout and to shoot at people. Five gunshots. His gal pal's okay, but he got caught. He went for a run-in, and they found him in Lexington, Kentucky, of all places. He went all the way to Lexington, and those cops there, they don't mess around. They found this feller and put him on a bus all the way back to beautiful Spartanburg, where he's probably going to be doing some time and not being able to enjoy the wonderful vittles that you can get at the Beacon. Your neighborhood Walmart has great food as well. Their chicken sandwiches are awesome, and they have like this popcorn chicken type thing, like instead of popcorn shrimp, they're popcorn chicken. Awesome. I like using a little cocktail sauce with those. It's just my thing. And you would love it as well. Also available at your neighborhood Walmart, a wonderful selection of plant-based foods. Yes, some of these plant-based foods are quite good for you. If you have the high cholesterol, check them out. You may enjoy it very, very much. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Ghoul, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. No, no one you know makes better radio. And you know Sterling, Sterling is live from the laundry room. If the noise level gets higher, it's probably just the dryer.
Here's the sort of story that'll help you fall asleep tonight. Or get you ready for the great shift. You and I are talking about crazy girls. There's nothing more dangerous than going on a date with a crazy girl for the first time, because the crazy girls, you don't notice that they're crazy until about three quarters of the way through the dinner, and they start saying things that aren't quite right. And I'll tell you, the woman to avoid at all cost is, during the course of the dinner, you say, "Tell me about your dad." If she gets quiet, clams up and says, "I don't want to talk about my father," you run like hell. Because in just moments, you will be viewed the way she views her father. "I don't want to talk about my father now." "Oh, okay. Well, I got to go." That's the deal. If you say to her, tell me about your dad. "Oh, I love my dad. Let me tell you about," and she wants to talk about her father. That's the girl. Because she likes men. I think too often, it's a lousy thing to happen, but I think too often women decide how much they like men based on how their relationship was with their dad. And it's impossible to separate. If you have a jerk dad, you're suspecting every guy is a jerk. And that's very sad. There's a mountain of therapy right there. But listen to this. Crazy girl. This just dropped. You ready? Girlfriend bashes sleeping lover's head with hatchet, but is all smiles in demented police mugshot. In the police mugshot, this girl's smiling. A North Dakota woman whacked her sleeping boyfriend in the head with a hatchet, but could barely contain a beaming smile when cops picked her up for the deranged attack. Lena De Oliveira, 23, dangerous age, allegedly attacked her boyfriend with a hatchet without warning. Well, what warning would there be? "Hi, honey, I'm going to hit you over the head with a hatchet." Yeah, you'd never hit anybody. They'd run. She knew. She was smart. She's not insane. She knew that he needed to be asleep for her to get away with this. Without warning. While the couple was staying in a what? A garage in Fargo around 5 a.m. He was then rushed to the emergency room after police responded to the garage. Another man who was also staying in the garage, this was some garage, identified her as the attacker and said she was homeless and often couch surfed in the garage and in other neighborhood garages. Here's this perfectly normal looking girl, except I see chest tattoos peeking out from her blue outfit there. Chest tattoos. I'm telling you, there's certain things to avoid. If you see a man with neck tattoos, you're not going out with him. That's an order for me. If you see a woman with chest tattoos, you're not going out with her. Just don't even think about it. And then the acid test is, how do you like your dad? The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Eicher, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.